verse 20 going down through verse 36. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said, "It is thunder." Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world, nor will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have light, lest darkness overtake you. This one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today and just ask that your Spirit might move in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would use me as an instrument of your truth. Remove error that's in my heart or mind and speak only the truth of your word today. Open our hearts to that truth, that it may not only be shining upon us, but also enlightening us and drawing us to you in a very powerful way. We thank you for the words of Jesus in this passage as he speaks to the Greeks. He also speaks to us in this time, in the life that we live. May it draw us close to you. May it draw us to see the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been an interesting week. It's been a long time since I've preached back-to-back in my sermon. And add to that, we moved. Most of you probably already know that. And then, of course, Tom was out of town and also worked. So I was jumping from pillar to post and through this, and praying the whole week that God would prepare me. And but it's been exciting. Come to This idea was powerful. Got two pages stuck together here. The reason that Jesus is compelling is not because of what he accomplished in life. And don't get me wrong, that's a great deal. We think of his birth, his resurrection, the life that he lived, the miracles he performed, the sermons that he preached, the hundreds of prophecies that he This makes Jesus, from anywhere else that lived, his willingness of God is the most important life ever lived. Now, Jesus dying is the difference. Now, in most kingdoms, in most ruling realms, the ruler is the most important figure. There's one story about Winston Churchill when there was a major battle happening in the war. He wanted to watch the landing from the ship, the bow of the ship. And the generals just couldn't see that. And they couldn't convince him not to. So they finally went to the king and they said, Winston Churchill wants to do this and we're afraid he might be killed. So the king went to Churchill and said, your example has proven great for me. He says, I want to watch the battle alongside you on the ship. To which Winston Churchill said, no, we're not going to do that. We'll wait and hear about it. Because he would not take the chance of losing the king. The reality in so many societies, that idea of that life of the president or the king or the leader was so valuable. Jesus did the exact opposite of that. King Jesus, with royal courage, surrendered his body to be crucified on the cross. He fell to the ground and died so that he could bear much fruit, so that he could live, so that we could live. He says that we can stake our lives on this. The cross shows us that self-giving love is the heart of God. It's at the heart of the universe he created. John 12:25-26 in our passage, whoever loves this life loses it, and whoever hates this
could have spoke down the Pharisees in the trial, but he willingly gave himself to you and I. As he looked ahead, he thought about all these things as the Greeks were asking him questions. What other reason did Jesus have in going to the cross but to glorify God the Father? Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. He was totally committed to the glory of God. He would do whatever it takes to bring God the glory. And finally, here Jesus says, the Father speaks in verse 28, part B. And it's amazing that he speaks here. The third time in Jesus' ministry, the Father speaks audibly. He says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The Father affirms what God the Son said. The cross is a powerful demonstration of the glory of God. You want to see the glory of God around you? Ever see a newborn baby? Ever been to a national park? See God's handiwork? And say, wow, awesome. I remember one morning driving to Duke University for surgery with somebody, and just as I was coming across I-40, the sun broke up. And all of a sudden, the sky was filled with great sunshine. I thought, just for a moment, I thought, it's happening. Jesus is coming back. You know? And just a couple minutes later, not yet. But we see it all around us. But to fully see the glory of God, look at the cross and know God's love. The irony of the cross is an instrument of torture and disgrace. Jesus went to the cross. He was beaten, mocked, and stripped, and humiliated. The cross was not designed just to execute. It was designed to humiliate. The irony is that God used this instrument of torture to show his great love and to be glorified. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, hundreds of years before Jesus speaks here, it says, Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Remember we talked about Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament leading up to this point? All the time spoken of, he's fulfilling. Jesus will be glorified. Jesus answered, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verse 23. How will he be glorified? By surrendering to his purpose and coming. How is God glorified? getting the tin helmet. And in that moment, the referee says, 10, 9, 8. And Satan cries out, wait a minute, you're doing it wrong. It's the other way. You're counting up, not down. 7. All of a sudden, the ground begins to rumble, lightning crash. If today